Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Father Heart TV webcast. Those of you who have
been everybody.
On Facebook today may well have seen Barry's new setup with a 42-inch screen. Looking good. But here we are. Good to be together again. So welcome. And Barry, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing well with my, as you mentioned, my 42-inch screen, which isn't a new screen, by the way. It's a older TV screen, but I thought I would give it a go. And actually, I'm just doing a school online this week with my friends in South Korea. And of course, you know, when you have for those who do anything with Zoom, you can have 25 faces on one page in a Zoom. So I was using this very small monitor, and now I've got this giant monitor that's like three feet from my face. So it's pretty big, but it's working.
Yeah, Trevor's just said boys and their toys. I think
exactly.
We know what that's like, eh, Barry?
Absolutely.
So, school in Korea. What time did you start this morning?
Started at 7 a.m. The Lord is merciful with the times. It's a 13-hour time difference. So it's 8 p.m. after. Mm-hmm. But then tomorrow it's again 7 a.m. And then I probably will be wrapping up my last meeting at 1:30 a.m. in the morning. At my age, I usually go to bed about 9 o'clock. So. It's a little bit of an adjustment, but it's so good because, in the midst of everything that's happening in our world these days, to be able to still go and be able to travel the world without getting on a plane, you know, at least for now, it's not too bad.
Yeah, good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, thank you. Yes.
Did you want to maybe mention about this new format that we're using tonight, just because to invite feedback?
You mean your 42-inch screen?
No, not the screen. We've already got a...
We've done that. Okay, well...
We've done that one, but it's just the actual video.
Yeah, the software that we use for this did a major upgrade last week. And in the past, if I was hosting the meeting in the past, Barry would have come on in Skype. And we realized that wasn't always great quality, and sometimes there was a bit of a delay. But now the upgrade to the software actually brings Barry in directly into the software. And so what we would really appreciate is if you think the quality is better or worse of the audio and the video, just stick something in the chat. We'd really like to... just get some feedback. One of the disadvantages, which won't affect most people watching, is before, under the old software, we could chat privately before we went live while the countdown timer was on. But we don't think we can do that anymore. But if you heard us, please just put something in the chat, because we can't test that ourselves, because we need a third party or other people to help us. So we think, having tested this quite a bit over the weekend, we think that this is better quality. But we just really like your feedback on both the visual impression and the audio. But from our point of view, this upgrade is absolutely fantastic. We can have four guests on directly, and it seems to cut out using Skype or something else. From our perspective, it's absolutely brilliant. And we've tested it a bit over the weekend, every which way we could, and kind of felt happy with it. And we're keeping an eye on other people's posts as well. So there we go. Thank you for your comments. Looks positive, Barry.
Yes. Absolutely. And of course, Mark and I, as Trevor mentioned earlier, boys and their toys, we can't resist when there's a new opportunity to do some research and testing. And we're both a part of a beta group for the streaming software that we use. And so this is brand new for Ecamm. live. And so this is where the one thing, as Mark said, I think is going to be really excited. And, you know, some of you who are on, you know, you'll be future guests and you know who you are, but it makes it easier rather than having, because sometimes Skype can be a little bit spotty as far as quality. But so hopefully we're thinking that this might be the solution going forward.
Yeah. So, what's up next then, Barry, after Korea?
I take a week off, kind of. I mean, I will be doing the webcast and, you know, we have Canadian Thanksgiving. For those who are outside of Canada, it's different than the American Thanksgiving. That's this weekend and a little birthday. But then other than that, nothing. How about you?
The birthday is one of those ones with a little naught on the end, isn't it, Barry?
Yes, yes, yes. I am entering glorious, I can't even say it, gloriously. The celebrating's already started. I'm entering my 60s, so yeah, hitting the big 60. Born in 1960, turning 60. I don't know if that's any kind of special thing when your age is your year, but yeah. So and that's.
Tell me, are you able to celebrate, or have you been locked into your house and not allowed out? What's the sort of rules in? Because you were saying the other day, there's the lockdown has come back in. Does that mean you can't have a family party, or what does
the
it mean?
The family party is discouraged. They're encouraging people to stay kind of sequestered in your house. Yeah, it's the we have.
You don't have to go public, Barry. You don't have to go public. It's okay. We won't be telling on you. But I think we get the message. We get the message, don't we, folks?
Yeah. No, there's some wiggle. Let me put it that way. There's some wiggle room, but we're kind of similar to I believe what's happening in the UK.
Yeah.
At the moment, and you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, enough said. We will let you off. I'll talk to you in private later.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be going to Denmark tomorrow with Trevor to do a conference there. It's not been possible for me to go. Trevor's going and the conference is going ahead and I'm doing my three sessions like this. And one of the reasons I wanted a little bit of feedback about this setup is my interpreter will be sitting in Barry's position over the weekend, not in his room but in his virtual position on the screen. So those of you who are on the webcast from Denmark, this is what you will see. You will see me on one side and my interpreter on the other side, and we will be beaming onto the big screen in the conference room. So I'm pleased to have the feedback that it's working. I've done this sort of thing in Poland using Skype, but this really does seem to be a lot better quality. So there, that's the next few days popping over to Denmark virtually popping over. So do you want to kick off tonight, Barry?
Yes, I would be happy to. And just to give a little bit of context to what we want to talk about. Mark posted a brilliant short 5-minute video on the weekend. I think he talked about, forgive me, Mark, but it was certainly a key, a revelation, and the benefit. And it comes from Matthew 11, where Jesus is, first of all, he prays to his father, saying, I thank you, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to the little children. And then he goes on to talk about no one knows the Father except the Son, and to those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then from there, and it's the same, you know, for the most part, and I'm not sure every Bible translation, but every Bible translation that I own, he goes into Matthew 11:28, where there's this invitation where Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And most of the times when we have heard about this, and we've talked about this a little bit, I think, in last week's webcast, we kind of deal with those three passages as three separate texts to teach from. And so, you know, Mark brilliantly, and I, you know, he's off the screen so I can say this. It was just the way he was able to tie all three in together, as far as the key to open the door to revelation is a childlike heart. And I don't want to steal his thunder, because he's going to share a little bit about that at the beginning. It was just really, for me, because, you know, Mark and I have talked about these three passages of scripture in the past and how they're connected. But the way Mark was able to really connect them together in a way that I thought, wow, it's almost like I'm not saying it's a template, and, you know, I don't want to try to manage or try to put anything over it, but I think there's something there the way that Mark shared it. And so when we were talking this week about what we were going to chat about, I just said, could we just unpack this more, and just the way that Mark shared it. And again, I can't do it justice. So, that's kind of the context of today's little visit. And so, Mark, if you can come back on again, and if you don't mind, my brother, and just, you see, I mean, I even forgot the exact title. I mean, I'm trying to describe it. I go, oh my gosh. Okay. But if you wouldn't mind just sharing, just with us all, just kind of the nuggets of how you tied those three scriptures in, and then maybe we can unpack that, and not only how, you know, the benefits of rest that Jesus invites us into, but how does this actually affect the fruit of the Spirit, and just every benefit of learning to live in love. So with that, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. Thanks, Barry. I did this little, I've been thinking about this passage for quite a few weeks, really. It's a very well-known passage, and I've just been reading it and thinking about it, and just on Saturday I sat down and did what I call them snapshots of truth, and they're little 5-minute videos, and I stick them on the website and Facebook and everything, and this one is, I called it the hidden key to rest, because as I've been just thinking about this passage, in every Bible that I've got, the three statements, the three themes, they're all really linked together. And it strikes me that we very often try and isolate them. You know, we just take that passage, come to me and I will give you rest. We take that in isolation. We don't link it to what's gone before. We talk about the childlike heart, you know, and the thing, these things are hidden from the wise and learned, but you've chosen to reveal them to those with a childlike heart. And I love the way Jesus says, for that was your good pleasure. It's like, you know, that was what the Father was pleased to do. And, you know, and in the middle, we've got this Jesus saying, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And it seems to me that we take those three statements in isolation. And as I've been meditating on them and chewing on them and thinking about them, I've just seen how clearly they are linked together, and how clearly they are a flow. And we want to get hold. We want a life of rest, don't we? You know, we talk about, come to me and I'll give you rest, and that's the desire of our hearts. And somehow we try to think, we try to work out, we try to come to a place of forcing ourselves into a place of rest, normally as a result of thinking, well, I've done enough for God, he ought to give me a week off. And we miss the point that the rest that Jesus is talking about is the rest of a relationship. And it's a relationship with the Father, because Jesus says, no one knows the Father apart from the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And I always think it should say, therefore, next, you know, therefore come to me and I will give you rest. Because it's as we come to the Father that we can really enter a life of rest. It's as we come to the Father, we experience that homecoming. And I always compare it to what God said to Cain in Genesis chapter 4. When Cain has killed Abel, God comes to him and they have this little conversation. And God says to Cain, as a consequence of what you have done, you will become a restless wanderer on the face of the earth. And I really believe that until we come home to the Father and experience that homecoming into his love, there is something of a restless wanderer inside all of us. To me, that those two words, restless wanderer, they describe perfectly the orphan heart. And, you know, it's as, and we can identify with that. We know that's true. We've all been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And if we're honest, we still do that and still wear the t-shirt every now and then. But what I've really begun to see is the only way to fully enter a life of rest is for Jesus to reveal the Father to us. And in John chapter 17, Jesus really emphasizes that. He says, you know, I have come that they may have eternal life, and eternal life is knowing you, Father. You know, eternal life is being brought into a relationship with the Father. And right at the end of John chapter 17, Jesus' last words, he said, I have revealed you to them, and I will go on revealing you to them. You see, Jesus is continually revealing the Father to us because we lose sight of him in the busyness of life and with the orphan ways that are still in our heart. We lose sight of that, and we go walkabout. But Jesus constantly shows us who the Father is and brings us back into that homecoming, into that place of acceptance and affection in the Father's arms. And of course, when we read this passage in Matthew, everything inside of us desires the life of rest that Jesus promises. But I've just really seen that the life of rest that Jesus talks about can only fully come out of us having a revelation of who the Father is, and that God is a Father to us. And we can only have that revelation if we're prepared to take the key and use it. And the key is having a childlike heart. You know, Jesus says, Father, you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you've revealed them to those with a childlike heart. And to me, that is the key. And if we can have a childlike heart, it enables us to see the Father. See, I think if we don't have a childlike heart, and this is a very black and white statement, okay, and probably there's a whole series of grey in reality, but if we don't have a childlike heart, we cannot fully have a revelation of the Father. And if we cannot fully have a revelation of the Father, we focus on what God does rather than seeing who he is. And we look at the things he can do for us. We look at the things he can do in our situation and in our world. But we miss who he is. And of course, when we know who he is, he does all of those things anyway, but we've kind of been drawn into that relationship. See, when we see what God does, it's functional. But when we see who God is, it's relational. And that's what the kingdom is about. It's relationship. So I've really just seen how these three things tie together. And I was talking with Barry the other day, and yeah, Barry came back to me and said, this could be a template for living, you know, and so that's really just what we want to talk about this evening, together, because it's like there's, if we can approach, I think there's a whole lot of things we can approach practically by saying, you know, if I can come as a child, then I'm able to see the Father's heart for this. And if I can see the Father's heart and go where the Father's going, then I'm going to be at rest. I'm going to be at peace. Yeah. So that's, yeah, that's kind of, you can watch the video. It's on my website. It's on Facebook. It's on, it will be on YouTube when I can get around to uploading it. But it's, yeah.
No, it's awesome. And I do think that, and of course, you know, we, Mark and I have kind of pondered some of this stuff over the years, right? But it was in the way that Mark, I really felt how you tied it together, and having the childlike heart is the key. And again, when we talk about a template for living, I know we're not trying to, you know, seven steps to this or whatever, right? But it was just very intriguing for me because, you know, for a lot of you who know me, you know that my, I think, you know, part of the unique way that I manifest the love of living in love is the smaller I can become, the bigger that my Father can become. And that was from Jack Winner. And, you know, he used to talk about that. And so I'm always, for me, it's one of those things that I'm always just asking for a greater insight into, like, why, Father, are children the greatest? Like, what is it in their heart that, you know, you find absolutely spectacular? And why is the kingdom hidden from the wise and the learned? And so I just, to me, it's interesting because when Jesus even, if we consider those three sections of scripture as one passage that are meant to flow together, when Jesus made the comment, which he very, very seldom ever described himself, personally, and he said, you know, come to me, all who are weary and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And he said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, right? And then you will find rest to your souls. And this is one of the places that when I think about when Jesus described himself as meek and lowly in heart, gentle and humble in heart, some translations say, I have to make the assumption that if the greatest in the kingdom is a little child and those who have a childlike heart, if the Father actually hides the kingdom from the wise and the learned, but is delighted to reveal them to little children. And then when Jesus makes a reference to that in that passage of scripture where he says, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. To me, I guess the thing that I'd like to just unpack some more, is he referring to the fact that he himself has a childlike heart? And again, there's a huge difference between childishness, as we know, and childlikeness. And again, if we look at it in the context of the two trees in the garden, tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the past, when I've talked about the two trees, one of the things that I've talked about, if I could describe in my own limited ability to communicate this, each tree, it, with one word, I would call the tree of life as the tree of dependence, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil as the tree of independence. But another one descriptor that I've been thinking of lately, when it comes to all of this, another one word description is that the tree of life is the tree of union with God himself, right? I and them, Father, you and me. And then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the tree of separation. So I think this is where, you know, I guess in my ponderings, and when it, like, I'm very visual, you know, I'm just a visual learner. I'm, you know, I love to express things in visual ways. And so when I saw Mark express the key, you know, at being a childlike heart, and the revelation that the Father delights to give us is the revelation, you know, of the kingdom in his fathering. And then we understand that it's through, so, you know, the invitation Jesus gives us is, so come to me, you know, so it's like our union with Jesus. When we really discover the beautiful simplicity of the gospel, where our union with Jesus gives us union with his Father, which in essence gives us rest and gives us peace and gives us joy. I just was just saying to Mark, you know, Mark, I wonder, like, if this would be something that we could just, at least for me, it was bringing form and bringing words that were very helpful for me to say, okay, if we talk about rest, it's coming as a child, right? Knowing the Father and then coming to the Son. If we need peace, is it the same? You know, it's that same process that the Father reveals his kingdom through a revelation of peace, through a revelation of our union with Jesus. So anyways, Mark, come on back. But that's kind of what I was pondering. And so when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, you know, faithfulness, self-control, I started to wonder if some of to me, it just brought some form to just seeing that the simplicity of a childlike heart that knows the Father, who comes to Jesus and experiences the benefit, every benefit of the kingdom through our union with the Son, who has the ultimate childlike heart.
Yes. Yeah, because I think the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit of sonship living in us. You know, it's the more we walk as Jesus walked. You know, we cannot manufacture fruit. We can try, and you know, I think there is a very real sense that we can be fruitful by our own effort, and God will bless that because he's a generous God. He's a generous Father. He will bless what we do. But it seems to me that the fruit of the Spirit is the Spirit of sonship, and as the Spirit of sonship is living in us, it will automatically produce that fruit. And you know, that's what Jesus was saying in John 14, is, you know, I'm going back to the Father, and I will send another comforter, another counselor, who will be with you forever, who will reveal these things to you. And then Jesus says in verse 23 of John 14, you know, I'm going back to my Father, and we will come and make our home with you. And it's like, the more we have that unity and oneness with the Father, the more the fruit is going to just be self-evident. As I was just thinking about this over the last couple of days, I kind of just thought about the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, because that's to me that's quite an interesting story, and Barry's used the word, we both use the word template, and you know what we mean, and you know what we don't mean. But here's the rich young ruler, and Jesus is starting out on his journey. He's leaving where he's been, and he's going on his journey. And this man, this young man, runs up to Jesus and says to Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? There's no one good except God alone." And then he says to this young man, he says, "You know all the commandments, you know, go and do that." And the young man is obviously dissatisfied in his heart, because the young man says to Jesus, he says, "I've done that. I've done that since I was a boy. And it obviously hasn't worked." It hasn't taken away the dissatisfaction in his heart, because he's come to Jesus and he said, "What have I got to do? I've done everything right. I've tried to follow the law. I've lived a good life. I feel like I've done everything right, but I'm still yearning and longing for something. What more have I got to do?" And Jesus plays him at his own game and says, "Just obey the law." And he says, "I've done it. I've done it." See, first of all, this young man, he asked the wrong question. But we can't condemn him, because he actually asks the question that we ask. And it's the wrong question. What must I do? And if we start out from that place of what must I do, we will end up going down the wrong path. And Jesus points that out to him very, very clearly. But I wonder if this young man has been watching what Jesus was doing in the moments before he started going on his journey. Because immediately before this passage about the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, Jesus and his disciples are together, and the people are bringing children to Jesus in order that Jesus may bless them. But the disciples get in the way and do a bit of crowd management, and they rebuke the people and they try and send them away. They kind of say, Jesus isn't bothered with children, you know, go away. But Jesus sees it and he's very indignant. And he calls the children and he takes them up in his arms and he blesses them. And he says, do not hinder them from coming, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom like a child will never enter it. And I wonder if this rich young man was watching that scene and thinking, that's all very well for them, but I'm important. You know, I'm wealthy. These poor people, these fishermen, these farmers, these working class people, they can be childlike. They can come to Jesus as a child. But me, I'm important. And I wonder if that's what's going on. I mean, we're not told that, but, you know, this is, these two passages are next to each other. And I just wonder if this young man sees this and is feeling like he can't do that because that's below him. And so as Jesus goes on his way, he runs after him. And, you know, I wonder if the conversation went something like this. That's all very well for them, but what about me? And I've often wondered, why did Jesus tell him to give his wealth away? And I think in the context of this, he asked him to give his wealth away because hanging on to it was his security. And hanging on to his wealth and hanging on to his position was the very, very thing that prevented him coming as a child. You know, he was relying on him, on being wise and learned and being rich and learned, being influential. And I think, as I've just thought about this passage, I think this was the hindrance to him being able to come as a child. And so that's why Jesus challenges him on it. But it's like he's trying to say, okay, that's the way for them, but what's the way for me? And I did a study at the beginning of the year of on the kingdom of heaven. Because, you know, we often talk about the kingdom of heaven and what it is and what it isn't. And we kind of link it with the kingdom of heaven and this, and the kingdom of heaven and that, and so on. But it always leaves me dissatisfied. And so I went through the Gospels and I looked at a lot of the things Jesus said about the kingdom. And the most common thing he says about the kingdom is you cannot enter it unless you come as a child. And in fact, this passage in Mark chapter 10 that I've just read, it says you cannot receive the kingdom. You know, Matthew talks about entering the kingdom, but Mark says you cannot receive the kingdom. And that tells me that it's a gift. And it's something that we receive. We don't earn it. It's a gift. And as I looked at all of these passages about the kingdom, what struck me was so many times Jesus says you cannot enter it or you cannot receive it unless you come as a child. And so my conclusion was the kingdom has to be a family. The kingdom is not an institution. It's not something that we approach with our minds. It's not something for the wise and learned. It's for children. What's for children? A family's for children. And so I came to this conclusion that the kingdom is a family. And of course, we're talking about the perfect family and not a worldly family which can be dysfunctional or in a mess or with broken relationships. But we're talking about a family with God as our Father, God as the Father. Jesus as our elder brother. And it kind of made a lot of sense to me, just putting some of these things together. And I think, you know, what this story of the rich young man does, it shows us that, you know, if we use that word template again, it shows us that there actually isn't another template. We have to go with the key that Jesus gave us, which unlocks this beautiful revelation that leads us into that place of of fruitfulness. As yeah. Barry said, it's we receive the benefit of living in the fullness of that revelation.
No, I agree completely. And you mentioned about the Mark passage of receiving the kingdom like a child, and of course Luke 18, Jesus, you know, was very, very clear with his disciples when they were trying to be bodyguards and keep the parents with their babies away, and he said, "Don't prevent them from coming, for the kingdom belongs to such as these." But then again, he said, "Unless you receive the kingdom like a little child, you will never enter in." And I often like to ask this question because, of course, we have grandchildren. Mark has grandkids. We have grandkids. And they're still quite young. And just the absolute joy that they have when they receive a gift is like they have no shred of pride that gets in the way. Do I earn it? Do I deserve it? They just receive with open-heartedness. And I really think that when we talk about the kingdom, in the context of how the Father sees the kingdom, how Jesus, you know, manifests the kingdom, that we have to, the baseline has to be a childlike heart. And it, again, it's not like it's, you know, it's just a sliver with this. It's just like, this is the way, like the way I was thinking about it. And it was kind of like the door, the kingdom that we were called to inherit and to live in and enjoy is massive. It's immeasurable. Mm-hmm. It's like the universe and the galaxies. There's no end. It's so big. But the door, the entrance, is very, very little. And only a little child can fit in. And so, I really believe, or at least, you know, it would be something for us all to ponder, I think, in this idea of family and belonging, and you know, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. When we begin to live our life that everything is a gift, right? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, as Mark said, it's not something we can self-generate. You can't make this happen. And it's not actually even not our fruitfulness. It's the fruitfulness that comes from God himself, the fruit of the Spirit. It's his personality. It's his nature. And and I've said this before, but you know, if we had a kingdom conference, your kingdom come, you know, you might have the, you know, people lined up around the building trying to get in. If we were thinking that the essence of the kingdom was signs and you know, power and authority and anointing, and all those things are really good. But if we really grasped it and wondered, just, you know, that it's, I think it was Brennan Manning said that heaven's going to be filled with 5-year-olds. I kind of like that imagery. And I just bring it right back to this idea of Jesus describing himself in the context of what he just said about how the Father delights to reveal his kingdom to the little children. He said, "Learn from me. Come to me to find rest and learn that I'm meek and lowly in heart." And that it's that coming to Jesus and being able to realize that our union with Jesus has secured us union with our Father. You know, when Jesus prayed in the John 17:23, "I and them, Father, and you and me." And I think, you know, again, it just comes back to this whole idea of what got humanity in trouble in the first place, right? It's this separation, independence, self-sufficiency, you know, our own abilities, our own strengths, our own self-effort, our own ability to initiate good works to God. That stuff is, like I say, barking up the wrong tree, eating from the wrong tree. And I just think, to me, it's a beautiful illustration to see that the key of being having a childlike heart is just the key to open up the revelation of the kingdom that the Father absolutely delights. And then, of course, Jesus brings a revelation of the Father to us in that process. And that revelation of the Father brings us into just that revelation of our union with Jesus. And we get, you know, rest as a benefit and peace and joy overflowing. And again, all of those things are beautiful childlike qualities that, you know, I just think are spectacular. And I think the Lord thinks they're spectacular too.
Yeah. I just think in John 15, where Jesus talks about abiding in the vine, you know, a couple of things he says in that passage are, when we are really rooted and grounded in love, when we're abiding in the vine, we will produce much fruit. And he also says we will not only produce much fruit, but we will produce fruit that lasts. And I think, you know, we look at our own lives. I look at my life, you know, I look at my life and I think, yeah, there's been a little bit of fruit here and there. And some of it's lasted and some of it hasn't and whatever. But when his love is the source of our life, as Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. When we really make his love the source of our life, the fruit is his fruit. And it seems to me it becomes a little bit easier to be fruitful. Instead of striving. Fiona and I were talking earlier today just about how easy it is to fall back into striving. And how it's almost unconscious, almost. You know, it kind of happens. And then you suddenly are aware of it in either in your own life or in a situation. And we were just talking and thinking, no, we don't want to go back to that way of life. We're done with that. And it's just kind of like, how do you live free of all of that? And many of you will have heard me say, but quote that verse from Job, Job 36, you've brought me into a wide open space, free from restriction, to a table laden with choice food, a place of comfort. And that's where I want to live. That's, you know, I don't want to go back. And this, I just, as I've just been thinking about this over the last few days, it does strike me just very, very significantly the flow that Jesus had when he said those three statements. And it's recognized they go together because all of our Bibles put them together. You know, I've got many different Bible translations and none of them separate that into three separate paragraphs with three separate headings. They're all, they might have different, you know, different translations have different headings, but they've all put them together because they're clearly linked. And I guess my encouragement for us this evening today is that, you see, when Jesus said about coming as a child, it would have been offensive to many people. I think it was offensive to the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. I think he was offended by the stark simplicity of it. And this is offensive to many people. I remember we had a guy come to preach at our church in Oxford many, many years ago. And he started off with a joke about Oxford, you know, and you all know Oxford University. And he said, oh, Oxford, he said, the cream of society. And everybody in the audience who went to Oxford University was kind of puffing themselves up and thinking, yes, we're the cream of society. And then his punchline was, yeah, the thick clots that float to the top. Oh, he didn't get invited back. But, you know, Oxford is the centre of being wise and learned. Yeah. And I remember just thinking how offensive that, even though it was said as a joke, how offensive it was to them. And what Jesus says about having a childlike heart is offensive to many. And if you've been listening to Barry and I and you are offended by what we've said, can I just encourage you to take that response to the Father and say, Father, why am I offended? You know, why am I offended by that? And let him, just let him dig deep into your heart. Because many people are so offended they won't take the key. And if they don't take the key, they don't allow themselves to unlock the revelation. And I kind of feel like, you know, even if we're offended, we can get beyond that offense because we don't want to stop ourselves. We don't want to prevent ourselves from receiving this gift of this key to unlock something incredibly precious. I know at the beginning of the summer, we on the webcast, I had Trevor with me, and we talked about the pearl of great price. And I know it's the same for Barry, it's certainly the same for me, it's the same for Trevor, it's the same for many of you who are watching, that this revelation of the Father is the pearl of great price. And, you know, if you're struggling, if you find what we've said offensive, can I just encourage you that it is the key to unlocking the pearl of great price? And once you've unlocked it, there just is no going back.
It's interesting that I remember I was reading a passage of scripture or a commentary from Oswald Chambers, and he talked about the branch being connected to the vine, and the only job that the branch has is to be connected to the vine. That's all. You know, the life source comes from the vine. Everything, the nutrition, the nourishment, the fruit comes from the vine. And, you know, when Jesus said in John 15, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Mm. Of course, he said, apart from the Father, we can do nothing, right? So that was John 5, 19 and 20. So it was how he lived his life. And I just, I guess my encouragement or my, you know, for all of us is if, like, as Mark said, if there is something in our hearts that is struggling with this, are we struggling with living a dependent life? Are we struggling with living a place of complete union with Jesus so much that we can't do anything apart from him? And as Jesus was very clear, he said, the Son can do nothing of himself. And I think this all comes back to little children who have absolutely no misconceptions of their own strength. You know, they are comfortable with their weakness. And Paul, of course, had that revelation of weakness, that when we are weak, then we are strong. And so I just would like wanting, from my vantage point, you know, and Mark said it brilliantly, about just the key being, would you be willing to ask the Father to speak about these things? And if you are, and again, I don't know if you have the message translation handy for Matthew 11:28 on, but to me, it just describes kind of a life of futility, a life of anxiety and carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. And I just believe that the Father, in his infinite wisdom and just in his goodness and his kindness, I just believe that maybe there is a key. Maybe there's a road less traveled where we, the Father delights to reveal, the kingdom to little babies. And from what I understand, the Greek word is untaught, unskilled babies that don't even speak, wordless infants. And would we be willing to ask the Father, what does that mean to come into this revelation that he's our Father? And of course, even the connection of Jesus' description of himself, learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. I'm gentle and humble in heart. And of course, the beautiful humility that children bring. So I just think, did you get that the message version? Did you find
it? I've got it here, yeah.
Oh yeah. Would you mind just reading that at all from verse 28?
Yeah, the message says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I think that's what we want, isn't it?
For sure.
Yeah. Let's just bring our hearts to the Father just for a few moments before we finish. Because in a way, I know when we talk about these things, sometimes it's very black and white. But actually the reality of our lives is It's a journey, it's a process, it's a changing heart. And there's a lot of grey between the black and white. So let's all of us bring our hearts to the Father. Wherever we feel we're at, whatever's going on in our hearts, and just, yeah, we want to live freely and lightly. And so, Father, we do just ask that you would pour your love into our hearts. That, Father, that we would not focus so much on the fruit or the goal, but we would see there's a way you encourage us to come, which is to have a childlike heart. And Father, that may be offensive to us, but we want to get past that offense, and we want you to help us. And so, Father, I just ask you to come and help us in our offense, to lay it down, to see beyond it, and actually to see that the reason we're offended is because of our own pride and independence. But you want to take us beyond that and away from that, into that place of dependence and rest in your arms. That, Father, for us to really experience a life of rest, we need to have a homecoming. We need to find our home in your everlasting arms. We need to know that we are rooted and grounded in love. And so, Father, for each one of us that are watching this webcast, would you just come and wrap your arms of love around us. Father, wrap your arms of love around us. Lead us home. Take us deeper into your heart, that our lives would be transformed by the power of your love.
And Father, I just thank you that the kingdom belongs to little children, that little kids are the greatest in your kingdom, and untaught, unskilled babies are the recipient of the revelation. Father, when you look at us, you are the Ancient of Days, you've been around forever, you have loved us with an everlasting love, and even though on the outside we've grown up, on the inside, Father, you see the little boy or little girl that just needs to be loved. Father, you know that we were created for the garden. We were never, ever created to be separate, to be independent, to be self-sufficient, to know good from evil, and to carry the weight and responsibility of that. Thank you, Jesus, that you made the way, you became the way home, that in you, now get to feast on the tree, at the tree of life, where you tell us who we are, where the Father speaks words of love and affirmation, where the kingdom is given to us freely without us earning it or deserving. And so, Father, we just ask that by your Holy Spirit, that you just lead us all individually, uniquely, in the way we are in our life story. Father, would you just speak? Would you pour out any revelation in this area where maybe we are burned out on religion? Maybe we are carrying a weight that you never wanted us to carry. Maybe, like the rich young ruler, we come to and say, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Thinking that it's about our efforts. Father, we just ask that your love would come and your fathering would come, that would give us that would permission us to change, to go in the opposite direction, to become childlike again, so that you would carry us, and that we wouldn't have to, we could cast every care upon your big strong shoulders to the future. Thank you, Father, that is your delight, that we would just have that transformation, and that the key to every catch, every benefit, every aspect of the kingdom comes to its fruit. Father, I just pray that you would just help us. Help me to receive the kingdom just like a little child would. And with great joy, and not disqualifying ourselves, before we even get started. It's like your goodness and your love and your kindness. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, amen. Well, Father, we just pray your blessing on Barry tomorrow as he does however many hours of teaching online with Korea. Just refresh him, keep him awake, keep him going, keep the interpreter going. Gives the interpreter grace to keep up with Barry's supersonic speed. And Father, just bless Trevor too as he goes, Trevor and Linda, as they go off to Denmark tomorrow. Father, thank you for your goodness and your kindness. And thank you everyone for joining us. Be blessed, have a great week. And I guess we'll be back next week, hey Barry?
Yes, right on, brother. I'll be a different age. Different decade. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
See you next week.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. Bye.